Drunken Peasants Podcast.
I got you to be it.
No! Say, man, you got a joint? No, not on you, man. It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
From the strangest corners of the internet, here to bring you opinions of the world from an altered perspective. Here are your hosts, the Drunken Peasants.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Drunken Peasants Podcast, episode 630.
Suck it.
And yes, we have two great guests. We have Steve McRae back once again. And we have David Hello. Silverman joining us for the first time ever.
Yeah. Hey, welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you. I guess we'll just get right into it, right? I mean, I didn't do when this first happened, I didn't do a ton of research, but when I found out you were, you know, basically breaking your silence, because you were gone for a little while, right?
I was gone for about 14 months. Yeah. I was out and silent.
Yeah. Yeah. When I found out you were interested in talking about this now, I started reading up on it, and it just kind of seems it seems like a textbook example of how cancel culture can go wrong, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is, and I have been thinking about this, obviously, for the past 14 months, I've been thinking about it, but also more often since I've been coming out, it's kind of been really, really therapeutic for me to come out and start talking about it, and it's really helped me to progress along this healing line, this healing time frame. So I don't know how much you want to get into exactly what happened. I have been talking for the past couple weeks about about what happened to me. How much you want me to get into the details?
We can get into, you know, like a general outline of what you were accused of and how that led to your termination from American Atheists.
Sure. And you know, I'm kind of first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the podcast.
Absolutely.
There's a blackball against me coming on podcasts. And I'm appreciative of the fact that you don't care about that. Also, just a matter of housekeeping, can I swear on this podcast?
Absolutely.
Please.
Fuck no. Oh, wait. Sure, why not?
So I want to give you – I'll give you a short answer of what happened not too long, because there's a lot to learn here. And there's a lot to digest and go through that really doesn't involve me directly. I'll tell you what happened to me, and then we can kind of extrapolate that out to the larger movement and to humanism itself.
Okay.
So I was guilty of cheating on my wife twice, once in 2011 and once in 2015. In 2011, a young woman came on to me at a convention. I said yes when I should have said no. She put a huge effort into it. She began to talk to me. She started flirting with me before lunch. We had lunch together. She stayed with me all afternoon or most of the afternoon. We took pictures together. They're up on my website. And then after dinner, she sat next to me for dinner. We were flirting the entire time. We walked back to the hotel together. During the walk back, she asked me for a job in exchange for fucking me. I said no. She said, well, can I get a knowing wink? Which is the first time I heard that. I said, yeah, you can get a knowing wink. And we went back to my hotel. And during this walk, this was a long walk. It was approximately a mile. I'm using my memory from 7 years ago now, because that's when this happened. But it was about a mile, and she was, in my estimation, 0% drunk. And we went back to the hotel, and we fooled around. And this year, she reported it to BuzzFeed. And she said that she was too drunk to consent. And she said that I had persuaded her to do things. And she said that she felt like I would do something against her if she didn't have sex with me, which is nothing that I ever said or implied or did anything to promote, because that's absolutely never been anything that I'm about. I'm not about, you know, I'm just not about that at all. but she said she felt that way. And so she felt pressured into doing it. And the second woman was Beth Presswood, Matt Dillahunty's wife, who in 2015 played with me over the course of several hours. And we had a BDSM scene. There were multiple witnesses to the BDSM scene at certain times of the evening. It lasted several hours. After everybody left, we played for a while, and then Matt called. She didn't pick up the phone, but she knew it was Matt from the ring. After the ring, she left. And hours later, she came back uninvited, knocked on my door. It must have been 2 o'clock in the morning. I really don't know because it was late at night. And that's when we played more. We had sex. And then and during that time, it was a BDSM scene. We did a lot of breast play, hard breast play, which most definitely left black and blue marks on her. That's what happens when you say harder, sir. Thank you, sir. Harder, sir. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, she told everybody I attacked her. And the explanation that she gave to BuzzFeed, the story that she gave to BuzzFeed and apparently a whole bunch of other people, was grotesquely inaccurate, to the point where I do not believe for a second that she believes she's telling the truth. I have been telling people that it was the stereotypical villain out of a Shakespearean novel, how much she lied. The Board of American Atheists got the news and kicked me out without any due process at all. Zero due process. They never said, Dave, did you do it? And these were people who... Go ahead.
And just to clarify, what was your position with American Atheists at the time?
I was president. I was president. I was a volunteer for 14 years, and then I became president in 2010. So I'd been president for 7 years, and I'd raised approximately $3 million over the course of those 7 years for the organization. I'd made a lot of friends. I thought I had a lot of friends. I guess I did. But the board felt it was necessary, obviously, to dismiss me, fire me. And then they apparently tried to cover their asses by making up stories, allegedly, to say that we didn't fire Dave on the accusations. We fired him on improper financial management, which was bullshit. And we have now learned is bullshit because they did a full forensic audit and they found out that, lo and behold, I didn't do anything improper at all. So when this happened, I was out. I was walked out of my office like a criminal. And all of a sudden I went from, the top of the movement to a pariah in a day. I lost a tremendous amount of my friends, who left without asking me again, did you do it? Nobody, very few people asked me if I did it. Those who did ask me if I did it, and those who heard the long form story of what I just told you, believe me, because it's very reasonable. And it's consistent with, oh, by the way, the eyewitnesses, the pictures, the recordings, and the polygraph test that I have on my website that all support me. And when I say eyewitnesses, I'm not talking about the witnesses like they had in BuzzFeed, where Rose St. Clair went to somebody a year and a half later and they called him a witness. I have actual witnesses to us playing. I have actual witnesses to Beth and me playing. I have actual pictures of Rose and me all through the day. And, you know, it was devastating to me. It hurt me deeper than I'd ever been hurt before, by far. To say that it dwarfed the loss of my parents is an understatement. I was literally devastated. I went into this horrible depression, and I'm only now beginning to come out of it. And what is interesting to me is as I come out of this place, as I come out of this mental hole, and as I talk to people like yourselves, podcasters, I went on Sargon last week, mm-hmm. and I kind of got red-pilled by Sargon, not so much by Sargon himself, but by the process and by reading the comments. And I went on Karen Strogan's podcast, and she said that I've had the red pills shoved into every orifice in my body. and it's very true to a certain extent. I am coming to terms with what has happened to me over the past year, but really over the past couple of weeks. I'm coming to terms with what happened and why it happened, and where the major culprit is.
Would you say this experience has changed you?
Oh yeah.
In what ways would you say?
Well, I'm not a third wave feminist anymore. And that's new.
You went back to second wave? Did you go back to just egalitarianism like the rest of us?
A second wave is solid in my brain. I am fully committed to gender egalitarianism. I'm fully committed to the concept of equal work for equal pay. But what has happened to me, I am definitely a stronger person now than I was before. And that's because I'm less dogmatic. That's because I'm more... I'm thinking things through, and I'm not allowing myself to take things on faith before. And I really was taking things on faith. I was woke as fuck. I was Mr. Woke. I was so proud of being feminist, being intersectional, and being woke that I just kind of went along with the dogma of what can only be termed as the religion of wokeism. And what I've come to realize, I read those comments on Sargon's podcast. There were like 3,000 comments.
Yeah.
And they all said exactly the same thing. and that was that, that I was, injured by feminism and still not seeing feminism as bad and still being a part of it. And what I realized is that there was kind of, if you take the analogy, if you extrapolate the analogy of wokeism as a religion, you find that I'm an altar boy who's been raped by a priest, almost. And I am somebody who says, well, and I was listening to myself on this podcast. And, you know, when you, in my 20 years of activism, for atheism, I met a lot of people who'd been hurt by religion. And a lot of them said, well, yeah, the priest raped me, but I still believe in the tenets of Catholicism. I still think Catholicism is good. And that's exactly where I was on Sargon's podcast. You know, I was still thinking that men are bad, that most accusations are true, that some men deserve it, and that collateral damage is okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was right there. And I've been there throughout this entire process, this entire terrible pain that I've been through, this awful place where I've been living for the past 14 years. And, you know, I don't want to get into a pity party because I've done that before and it's not the best side of me, but, now, I was so deeply hurt and so profoundly depressed that I couldn't function, and I've never been able to not function before. And I sat there in this pool of depression and self-pity and guilt and shame, and I didn't really analyze the bigger picture until I started talking to people, podcasters, but I mean, and reading comments and talking to people, just communicating again. Where I've actually been able to come through to the point where I'm seeing this woke religion, this faith-based community, that men are threats to women, that intersectionality is the only way to justice, that that women can't lie about sexual assault.
I mean, it does take faith to believe every accusation as soon as you hear it.
It absolutely is.
Yes.
And if you look at it, I mean, just look at the way they're doing this. They're pointing fingers, and they're told to point fingers. And this is kind of profound. This is kind of one of my pieces of awakening, because they're told to point fingers. The call out culture is, you will be a hero, you will be redeemed, you will be revered if you call out a man for doing something bad. And so they're incented to do this. They're told to do this. In fact, they're told that they're good to do it and bad not to. They're betraying women if they don't. So I have had this rage, and I can't tell you it's all gone, but I have had this rage against the two women who accused me, because they lied, and because they took me down, and because they didn't have reason to. But as I think about it, the more I think about it, the more I realize how much they are victims too. They are victims of this call-out culture that tells them that they're victims, that tells them that they need to push these buttons and to get men fired, because that's a good deed. And then I look at the people around me, the people who deserted me. I don't even like to use the word deserted, but fine, let's just use it. I used to know a lot of people. Okay. I've been in this movement for a lot of time, and I achieved a level of notoriety. I knew a lot of people, and 90% of them are gone from my life now for good. And, you know, when they left, I found it to be such a deep, profound betrayal. It was something that it was a level of insult and pain, and again, betrayal, that I really couldn't put my words on, but they couldn't help it either in a really big way. And I used to be a part of that. Used to be a part of that. Okay. And so I'm looking at myself, and I'm seeing myself 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I'm part of this woke culture. I'm woke as fuck, proud of it. I used to say, I'm so blue, I make the sky look red. That was my funny thing. And, you know, I believed as well. I believed on faith. I believed without data. I believed the woman. I believed the victim. I believed it. And I was sure I was right. And so these people are the same way. And so in a real way, I don't even like to say these words, but I've almost been a religious atheist. To be in this pseudo-religion of wokeism, which has tenets, has a Bible, has, mercy, forgiveness, and redemption, i.e. there is none.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is that people are trying to be good people here. You know, in Fighting God, I talk about religious people and I say, you know, religious people aren't stupid and they're not bad. They're victims of indoctrination. And this carries, this works. Woke people aren't bad people. They're trying to do good. And they've got this dogma, this set of dogma that they think is good, that they think is helpful. They think they're being protective of women. They think that women need protection, that they're being protective of women, that they're being protective of minorities, when they're actually eschewing skepticism and living a life free of living a life of dogma. And that's not humanism at all. And it's not respectful to the victims either. It's not respectful to the minorities either, to say that they need protection, that they need help. And that, I mean, the absurdity is on its face that women can't lie about sexual assault. That's absurd on its face. And
absolutely.
I didn't see it. And they don't either.
Yeah, and this was a divisive issue for a long time. I remember when atheism was exploding on YouTube, and there was a huge division between people who wanted to do atheism plus feminism and those who wanted to keep it with atheism. So this is kind of a residual of that sort of thing.
This absolutely is a residual of that. It's the next step. I mean, intersectionality is the next step beyond atheism plus. I heard atheism plus. I thought it was a good idea. That's why I put it on my stage. We tried to avoid mission creep, but I was woke as fuck myself. And so American Atheists adopted some policies, you know, that were in that area. And it was all meant to be good. I had the first code of conduct at the first extensive code of conduct at an atheist convention with actual people there who were contracted just to make sure that everybody behaved and anybody who was reported from sexual assault was taken very seriously. And we believed the women and we believed the victims. And, we created this almost, I mean, it was almost a nanny state-ish type of situation with the American Atheist Convention for a couple of years. And, it was all meant to be good. We were all trying to be good. And people who were not agreeing were assholes because they were obviously not trying to be good. And we were trying to be good. And, okay, just take what I just said. And now let's pretend that it's religion. Okay, the Catholic Church is trying to be good. People who are outside the Catholic Church, they're not as good. They're obviously working for the devil.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
It is. It really is. And we've been taken to hell. I've been taken to hell. And it's hard to swallow because I am a man of skepticism. I am a person of skepticism. I'm a person of data. And I have lived a section of my life on faith. People said that there's a gender pay gap, so I believed it. People said that women need protection from men because most men are shit. I believed it. People said that that sexual assault was rampant in the atheist community. I believed it. And I didn't do the research. I didn't even look at research. I just listened to the people who were saying it from authority. And I believed it. After all, women know more about sexual assault than men do. Men should just shut up and listen. And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It is all bullshit. Men, nobody should shut up and listen. Everybody should look at data. Everybody should consider everything. Everybody should consider everyone. And everybody is capable of lying. And everybody has lied. So it's really an interesting place that I'm in right now because I'm in a transitional place, obviously. I am committed to second wave feminism. I'm committed to egalitarian equality. I'm committed to trying to make the world a better place, solving problems with real solutions. But part of that solving problems with real solutions means not taking, unfortunately, it just means this, not taking people at their word when they say something that needs to be backed up with data. I have been falsely accused by two women of sexual assault. If you believe the data that women never do that, well, then what I'm proposing is pretty unlikely that two would do it to me if women never do this.
So the first one that made the claim that she claimed she was afraid you might be able to do something to her. Was she claiming there was some sort of power dynamic that you had over her or?
Yeah. And she was claiming power dynamic. And the power dynamic was real, but okay. Yes. I was the president of an organization that could have offered her a job. I told her that there would be no job in advance of anything happening, which in my mind said, okay, now that clears me. Now if she wants to move forward, she still wants to just have sex. And she claims that even after I said that, well, she claims that I said it afterwards, which is a lie. And she also says that she was so afraid that I was going to damage her career if she didn't fuck me. Now, remember, she targeted me. She was with me all day. She targeted me before lunch, and we played after dinner. And she was with me all day. So there's a lot of responsibility to this fully grown-ass adult putting herself in that situation. And there's also responsibility for this fully grown-ass adult imagining things, and imagining things in retrospect and saying, okay, well, maybe he's bad without any sort of reason to believe that. And so I've been really thinking about this, because what Rose did is morally repugnant to me. It should be morally repugnant to everybody. But let's think about this for a second. And this is where I've gone in the past week or so. And I don't know where I'm going to land on this, but religious people do really morally repugnant things too. They do morally repugnant things because they think they are doing good. And so I have to wonder, and I don't know what's in Rose's head, but I have to wonder what's in Rose's head. She was likely told by this wokeism that it's really good and important. It's good for you to call out men who have wronged you, to think about men who have wronged you and call them out, to kind of search through your head to find out who might have wronged you in the past. And if you get somebody ousted, you're a hero. And, you know, I have to wonder if she's a victim of wokeism too. I have to wonder, and yeah, maybe I'm going soft on her, maybe I shouldn't be, but I'm trying to be a humanist here. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to get past the rage of this cunt lied in order to take me down because she's a selfish cunt. I'm trying to get past all that, right? I don't think either of these two women are just evil, horrible human beings. I suspect and I want to think that they thought they were doing good, and their wokeism culture told them that they have to search in order to be good and call out any men that they think might have harmed them in some way. Even if you have to twist the truth, they probably did something else, and so this will make up for them doing that whatever thing, because if Dave Silverman fucked you, then he's probably fucked somebody else, and he's probably hurt somebody else. And so might as well fuck him over now, even if you have to tell a lie, to get him off the streets, to get him out of power. I've heard that many times. And, you know, I have to wonder where Rose St. Clair's head is to do what she did and to say what she said. I don't want to believe she's evil. And I don't want to live in that place in my head where everybody is evil all the time and everybody who's wronged me is wrong. But I mean, this is a bigger picture than me.
She may genuinely believe she's the victim in this circumstance, and she may have thought, I mean, in your story, the story you told us, she was the one suggesting that there be some sort of sexual contact in exchange for a job. So yes. That's a pretty huge leap from her being the one to bring that up to later claiming that she felt pressured.
And if she's the type of person to expect a bounty off of fucking somebody or work a bounty into fucking somebody, it's very easy to see a bounty for outing somebody as being a predator or a bad person and collecting that bounty there. Like, it sounds like an opportunist situation from the story that you're telling.
There's a point that I hadn't considered, but that actually makes a lot of sense right there.
Yeah. Can I jump in for a second? By the way, first, it's nice to actually meet you, Dave.
We've talked,
you know, online, but not like this before. And second, that the things you're saying is a lot of people have been saying these things for quite some time about the woke culture. It is a very organized, systematic presentation of things that people need to do in order to fit in to a tribalistic type culture. I think what's happening is you're trying to make sense of things that is very difficult to make sense of, right? You're trying to give benefit of the doubt to the people that have accused you. And I think that's very admirable. It's very difficult. Many of us have been in very similar situations, not to the extent that you've been in, but have been called out for things that are just not something that should be called out because of call out culture. I've had many episodes on, people being eliminated from platforms, people being trying to be censored, people not trying to get, you know, not allowed to have their voice out. I believe very much in if you have the truth, that's what's going to rise to the top, and you shouldn't be silenced in any way, shape, or form if you have something to say, especially if you're accused of something. But in the woke culture, you're exactly right. It is believe this person unequivocally. Don't ask questions. I've been told by actual people that do exist in, you know, my communities to say, if a woman says this, it has to be taken at face value and to be true. And you cannot question them for details. That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd.
That is not how any skeptic would ever.
Yeah, it should be taken seriously and investigated, but it shouldn't be believed.
The problem is
that's the difference there.
For the longest time, women weren't being listened to and it created a problem. So to answer that problem, they say, we're not only going to listen to you now, we're going to believe whatever you say. They skip the
overcompensation.
It's overcompensation.
The pendulum swing too far in one direction now. If I can ask them real quick, I have a friend.
Sure.
Her name is Brittany Simon. She is a BDSM expert. She actually trains people. She lived about 15 minutes from me, and I consider her to be an actual friend of mine. She has also become unwoke. She has recently, in videos, and I had a huge discussion with her on this over coffee not too long ago, she has also moved from the feminist label for the same exact reasons that you're talking about, what she's seen. But in the BDSM community, you generally have what's called a contract, right? You negotiate the scene, and you make sure that each person involved in the scene knows their limitations, knows the safe words, knows exactly what they're expected to do. And you're right. These things can lead to very aggressive sexual things. Now, contrary to what people believe, I'm not into BDSM, but I have researched it because I respect my friend Brittany and I wanted to understand her world. And so can you kind of tell us if any of that kind of occurred and how, and I know for a fact that people that are in the BDSM world take this very seriously. It's not just about sex. It is a lifestyle for them.
It's a power exchange thing for me.
Power exchange. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and I'm all about the power exchange. I'm a dom. Thank you for asking that question, Steve. It's a very important question because the answer is yes. The answer is that when Beth and I started playing, we went into an entire verbal contract. What your friend probably also told you is that the sub is in charge in a BDSM relationship, always. Not the dom.
Sub always has the power.
The sub has the power. The sub is the one with the safe word. The sub is the one that knows the safe word, that can call the safe word and can stop anything from happening. The dom, counterintuitively, only does what the sub wants him to do. And so, yes, when Beth and I were engaging privately, she stood in front of me as she was disrobing, and she told me what she wanted. We agreed on the safe word. That's how she knew the safe word. It's really amazing if you look at it. What she said to BuzzFeed was that she guessed was that I attacked her, and that she guessed that I had assumed that we were in a BDSM thing, BDSM scene, and she guessed that my safe word would be red. And yelled it out and stopped me. And that stopped me. And again, that's bullshit on its face.
You don't guess safe words.
I can talk to every sub listening to this podcast right now. If you're in a situation with with somebody who you know is a dom, but you don't have anything going on, and the dom attacks you, you're not going to yell out red. You're going to yell out, get the fuck away from me. And you're going to push him away. And that's good. That's because you're not in a scene. You're not thinking like that.
Right, right. The safe word is consensual. That's a consensual thing.
Right. That's during the negotiations.
About consent. Right. It's all about consent. And she's not going to know or use the safe word if you don't talk about it. That she's not psychic. And she did use it, and I did stop immediately, and then we talked about what we'd done, and then we kept going. Again, I'm not going to get into the details, because I've gone into the details before, but yeah, I mean, it was a completely consensual event, and then just to make sure that the point is driven home clear, she said red early on, then we kept playing, then Matt called, then she left, then she came back for more. Then we had sex. Okay, so there's really very little room here for, well, there's no room for no consent, and it's disconcerting to me that she twisted and lied, and I mean, you know, it's really disconcerting how much she lied. It's really disconcerting how horrible. She portrayed me to be in what was a long, hours-long positive thing. And so let's move on to the next part, though.
Okay.
If Beth is, so yes, the answer to your question, Steve, is yes, it was all consensual, and she had a safe word and everything, and then she left. And of course, the big key component here is that Matt called, and then she left. And when she came back, she told me before we had sex, she told me Matt didn't want us to play. Matt and Beth were poly, but Matt had vetoed me. And so she woke up the next morning, obviously, to me, and lied to Matt to make him think that I had attacked her. And now, let's take that analogy back, and let's look at the way Matt is behaving. Matt is raging at me all the time. Now, I don't believe he's telling the truth about the rage, but it does, however, match a religious fervor. It does match a person who is absolutely sure that Jesus is Lord. Matt's a good person, but he is also really, he's either a good person who's really misled, or he's a really bad person who knows Beth is lying. I hope he's not a really bad person who knows Beth is lying. I am going to take that. I'm trying to take that for granted. But and, the truth is,
he and Beth are no longer together, correct?
No, they're no longer together. But Matt is really indoctrinated into this woke culture.
Right. You're trying to give him benefit of the doubt. You're trying to look at it from the best possible perspective. And not trying to condemn everybody for being. I mean, there are some shitty people in the world. Let's not kid ourselves. But I don't think Matt's a shitty person at all. I think that he's done a great job in what he does. I know a lot of people think that him and I have this weird animosity toward each other. And he's not a fan of mine. I get that. But I have never really had any issue with him for what he does. And I think that he basically got sucked into the woke culture like many people have. The atheism plus things destroyed communities. And this is, like you said, you used the perfect word. And by the way, you used the terminology for BDSM quite proficiently. So, you know, I'm tending to agree with things that you're saying, because you definitely are in engrossed into this community from what I've learned about BDSM from my friend and my own research. But this intersectionality you used, which is, you said, is like atheism plus, or atheism plus plus, or atheism 2.0, or new atheism plus. And it is. Intersectionality is this weird narrative of persecution versus privilege. And that there is this need out there. They actually have told people, go out and find people that you can point fingers to, take these men down. All men need to be taken down a peg. This kind of narrative, this virtual signals. And I've seen it firsthand. My fans have seen it firsthand. this is something that has been needed to be said for quite some time. And I'm glad that you, as somebody with a voice, is able to say these things, because again, there's repercussions for saying these things in the woke community. You are basically shunned. You're treated as a pariah if you dare question the woke intersectionality narrative. Matter of fact, the person I had talked to about earlier, Brittany Simon, she was actually on my show with Sargon to talk about intersectionality. She was defending it. No longer the case.
Yeah. It's hard to defend. It's hard to defend on the other side of it. And it's, I mean, it is religion. I mean, it is every bit as religion. And if you look at my book, Fighting God, and you just take the word religion and you change it with wokeism, it works. I mean, it works. You know, these are not bad people. They're victims of indoctrination. They're doing what they think are doing good. They don't deserve hate. They deserve pity. They deserve humanism. We can raise the bar on society by going at them with humanism, not by going at them, you know, not by coddling their religion. We must destroy their religion. Their religion is shit. Religion deserves to die, but the people are good, and the people deserve our help. It all works for wokeism, which of course doesn't have a god, but it does have a dogma. And if you break that dogma, like Steve was saying, even if you question the dogma, you are drummed out of society. Now think about Mormonism.
Yes.
Think about Islam. Think about Orthodox Judaism. Think about these religions where if you question the dogma, they expel you. And they also have a call-out culture. Think about the call-out culture in Mormonism, where people are rewarded for calling out other people who have doubts about the religion, and then those people are cast out from society. It is analogous. It is almost perfect, except that there's no actual dead guy. There's no actual deity. But everything else works. Everything else fits. And I'm looking at this cultural identity, and you're right, Steve. Nobody inside wokeism is talking about this.
No,
they are afraid to talk about this. The vast majority of my former friends who left have said nothing to me and have not done anything. And those who have spoken out, especially in the past couple of weeks, they have lost friends. They have been shunned.
They will.
Not
they will be.
Not because they did anything wrong, but because they said, I deserve due process.
Guilt by association. And I have had the exact same thing. When people say things like, do not associate with this person, or if you associate with this person, I can't be friends with you. I've had that happen once or twice. I think a lot of people have. I think that's reprehensible. I actually find that to be actually detestable in call-out culture, because for one thing, if this person's your friend, you're hoping that they do see the truth. You're hoping that they do. They should analyze things, and like you said, have due process and have critical thinking and look at all perspectives. But people don't. They jump on bandwagons. I've been accused of being a rape apologist by a group of individuals that are just absolutely insane.
I've had to read that Twitter feed for weeks. Of you and your buddies arguing with the people who call you a rape apologist, people. Wow, that's been going on forever.
Are they not mental? I mean, it's just absurd, right? And I'm laughing, but at the same time, it is really sad, because these terms have meanings to them as far as actually applying to real people.
Yes.
A rape apologist is somebody who says, you know what, he had sex with her, but you know what? She really wanted it. Did you see what she was wearing? She was drunk that night and she didn't say no. These are things that are apologetics when it comes to rape. And by the way,
rape isn't so bad anyways, right?
Yeah. You know, it's just sex, man. Right. It's that kind of stuff that's rape apologetics. Now, if you think somebody is innocent, right, you think somebody didn't commit the crime, or you think in this case there was consent, which there are reasons to believe this. I don't know if you know this a lot, but I do a lot with beliefs, knowledge, epistemology, epistemic justifications, and things of that nature. There are reasons to have doubt to these types of stories. And if you give the truth and if you explain them in detail to justify them, there are reasons to say, And it's so funny, because people are, you know, atheists, always love that word doubt, but they're very selective in how they use it.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
the religion.
And that's the religious part of it. Right. And I've been saying this for years, as people know, this is my shtick, but, the thing is that if you have reasons to doubt somebody and you say, you know what, it was consensual in your case, BDSM, that's not rape apologetics by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. So. And along that line, I am committed, deeply committed to the separation of church and state, deeply committed to egalitarian equality, deeply committed to LGBT rights, deeply committed to trying to take care of the less fortunate in this world. And because I believe, because of what happened to me, I now think that people should listen and to both sides of a story, and that it's supposed due process. My new label is alt-right.
Alt-right. Yeah. Welcome to our world. I call my fans neo-Nazis because you know, I had somebody on the show that been on this show many times, JF, right? Just because we had him on, all of a sudden you're a neo-Nazi. It's like, wait a minute. First of all, I had him on for biology. He happens to be a PhD in biology. I don't agree with his race realism stuff, but it's just like, that's the call out culture. Oh, you have this person on, you must believe everything they say, agree with them.
And don't forget the word adjacent, because the adjacent word makes me very, very funny, because I went on Sargon, and Sargon is a rape apologist because he made that joke, you're too ugly, I wouldn't even rape you, which, by the way, is not at all a threat, not even a little bit.
And it's not
a
rape apologetics either.
But because I went on his show and we didn't talk about that at all, I am a rape apologist adjacent.
Wow. That's
and that means that all of my Twitter followers are rape apologist adjacent.
It's like a virus, right? I mean, it's like you associate with this person, you get infected with something, and that term gets moved on down the line for all your followers, because that's how it works. It works as a weapon. They have weaponized these terms.
Yes. The parallels to Mormonism are thick. The parallels to Mormonism are just right there. And I didn't even see it. I was inside it. And I didn't even see it the whole time. And, you know, it shot me and it destroyed me. It destroyed me from the inside. It wrecked my brain. And now that I'm coming out of it, it's only now being so apparent as to how religious this was and how I was trapped in this faith-based system. I feel disgusted by myself. I'm trying to give myself a break. And I'm trying to have pity for the people who are still in it. I'm trying to feel sorry for them, and I should, and we should. I know logically I should, and we should. I've got a lot of anger.
Didn't they go after Matt Dillahunty recently because his views on transgenderism didn't line up with the majority?
I believe what happened, the story that I understand it, was that somebody was brought onto his show while he was in the air, and this person who was brought onto his show is evil for some reason, very, very, very evil. And Matt, and I'm going to defend him here, Matt was in the air, and he didn't land. When he landed, everybody had been complaining about the fact that he hadn't responded in time. And that there's
a lot more to that story. Do you want to know exactly what happened?
Yeah, sure.
I was completely involved in this in a lot of ways. The person you're talking about, his name is Rationality Rules. Are you familiar with him?
I'm familiar with the name.
Okay. Rationality Rules is a layperson philosopher, kind of like myself. I have the utmost respect for the guy. He has some amazing videos. And he did a video on transgender in sports. And the first video that he did had some scientific issues to it. It wasn't quite correct. And it could have been fixed. But unfortunately, there was somebody out there, and this is not callout culture. This is a historical fact. Did I freeze? I think I froze.
Yeah,
whatever.
Fix you. Yeah. I'll fix you.
All right. It's okay. People know how pretty I am with my hair. but this one person named Essence of Thought decided to weaponize this video and tried to call him out as being transphobic, or at least his video being transphobic. And it got to the point where it got to the ACA and completely split them on whether Rationality Rules was transphobic or his video was transphobic. Now, I know Rationality Rules. He is not transphobic. He's been a huge advocate for LGBTQ. His video had some problems. Let's be real. But he was willing to fix it. So I told him, look, don't die on your sword on this, but, you know, fix your shit. Okay. and he put out a second video, which was much better, and then a third video, and each time got progressively better because he was willing to fix things like a true skeptic would. If you get some things wrong, you fix it, right? But but Matt is friends with Rationality Rules. Rationality Rules was on I think it was Talk Heathen he was on, which is the same studio for the ACA's Atheist Experience. By the way, shout out to Atheist Talk Heathen. Big fans of Eric and Jamie there. But there's a huge split on whether they should have had him on. Well, they came out with a proclamation against him, a formal heresy declaration. Literally, it was a declaration against Rationality Rules, splitting him from the tribe, so to speak, right? It was anything like you've ever seen, a proclamation of this person has committed heresy against the woke crowd.
Who wrote that?
Well, I'm not sure who wrote it. I know Jamie, the president at the time of the ACA, issued it. Now, I don't think he wrote it. And they did walk it back eventually, which caused even more problems because now you pissed off the people that were on, you know, agreeing with Rationality Rules and wanted this discussion, which, by the way, I finally was able to have about the topic in an adult, sensical kind of way. But the EOT did not want to have this discussion. His view is this: either you agree with me or you're transphobic. That's it. There is no middle ground. And so he doesn't have a lot of support nowadays because he had actually had harassed a very dear friend of mine, Rachel Oates, who is also another atheist YouTuber. And it caused her to have a mental breakdown. And this is something that I fight very much against, this type of cyberbullying. But Matt had sided with Rationality Rules, so he got a lot of shit. But when they revoked that proclamation, now you pissed off both groups, right? So now everybody's upset. And even though I think that was the right thing to do, that proclamation was anything like you've seen from a religious organization. We're gonna excommunicate this person. We're going to disfellowship them. Same exact thing. And I called that out right off the bat, and so did other people. So I actually will give praise to Matt. He fell on the right side of this, and for anybody to think he's transphobic is absolutely batshit insane.
And that caused the departure of what, about half of the Atheist Experience hosts? Yes.
Yeah, Jen People. I know Jen left. And by the way, Jen Peoples, I never had an issue with her at all. I've communicated with her, and all of a sudden, I'm blocked just for being who I am. It's like I'm a white cisgender male. Can't be, you know, associate with that person. I know Tracy Harris left. I know that. Who else? There's a few other people that left, but yeah, there was a great schism. And so it divided them just like Atheism Plus. And I said it would. I said, this is going to be the Atheism Plus 2.0 scenario. Because you cannot, as you pointed out, you cannot reasonably change your mission statement like this. They've gone too far off of it. And that's not what the Atheist Experience and the ACA's mission statement was about initially.
Well, that's a scary story.
But is not true? You cannot split. You cannot take your mission statement and change it to that degree and not expect a schism.
I mean, especially when there's no data involved. I mean, did any of these people actually watch the video?
Oh yeah, yeah. And the worst case scenario, the worst case, and again, I try to get principle charity. Let's say the video was transphobic. I don't think it was, and I certainly do not think Rationality Rules is transphobic in any way. But let's assume that the video was. The way to handle that is say, hey, his name's Steven, by the way, not doxing. But you say, hey, Steven, hey, your video has some scientific errors to it. You didn't get some shit right. Let's see what we could do to fix it and get the right information out there. That's how you address it. But unfortunately, there are people in the woke community, like Essence of Thought, who all they wanted to do was dramatize this for their own narcissistic, ego-driven just narrative. It was the persecution porn, exactly. And I don't know if EOT was doing it for money per se, but it was to feed his narcissism. And by the way, the pronoun thing, he doesn't care. He goes by Peter or Ethel. He says he's she, they. It doesn't matter to them. But it was to promote this idea that if you don't agree with me, you're transphobic. That narrative does not fly at all, because we all disagree with people. I built a community on people that disagree with each other called the Great Debate Community. If we all agreed, it would be boring as shit, okay? So you have to be able to disagree, but have the discussions at an adult level. They can't. And so what they try to do is silence it. And I think a lot of this happened to you. If people cannot have these discussions and do them on an intelligent and adult level, they're going to do the opposite. They're going to try to shut down communication and deplatform people. And that's what I will call out. And that's not college culture. That's standing up for what's right.
And amen, for lack of a better word.
I almost stood up and started clapping for you there.
This is what religious people do. That's how religious works. They look for the slightest bit of dissent and drown it out. And because religion is based on faith, there is no real debate. If you want to debate religion, as we've all debated religion with people, there's people who will debate one thing or another. But when you get into the, well, is God real? Then they shut you down because they can't, they don't want to talk about that. They can't talk about that. There's no data to talk about that to back you up. We have data. They don't. And when it comes to this woke culture, this idea that discussion is bad, that due process is bad, this is really intellectual laziness. This is, I don't want to talk to you. You're bad. That's just equal in my book to I can't stand up for my views because I don't have the knowledge and I don't have the data to back it up. I mean, I'm thinking about it now. I don't think I've ever told somebody to go away or to be ostracized because they disagreed with me. I mean, I at least not at first. I've always had the.
I will testify to that personally. You were one of the very few atheist people position that always was civil to me. You never insulted. You never shut me down. You never tried to have people, you know, say, hey, don't talk to Steve.
That's what a rapist would say.
Exactly. There you go.
But seriously, this is what
I appreciate that. I will testify that is the truth.
And thank you, Steve. And I appreciate that. And that's because that's the wrong thing to do. That's not humanism. It's not humanism to throw up your hands. If you have a point and somebody can debate your point and your only response is, well, you're bad. And so I'm going to throw you out and I'm going to try and get you deplatformed. You've got a really weak fucking position.
Damn right.
And we have to own that. We have to make sure that people own that. So this is the religion of wokeness that I'm talking about. And this is the humanistic goal of attacking that religion and destroying it dead. And when I say destroying it dead, I'm not really talking about destroying the good parts of wokeism, okay? Wokeism is well-intended, and that good intention should stay there. There are disadvantaged people in this world, and they need to be addressed. They need to be helped. Certainly, women have been oppressed over the years, over the millennia. And that needs to end. It needs to be ended completely. But that doesn't mean we have to overcompensate and go from a male chauvinist society to a female chauvinist society. We should be doing feminism, which is men and women are equal, which means when a man makes an accusation, you take it seriously and you look at the evidence. But when a woman makes an accusation, you take it seriously and look at the evidence. That is feminism. That's actual feminism, in my opinion. When you treat women unequally and take for granted that they can't lie, that's not feminism at all. That's infantilizing them.
That's a good point. It's treating them disrespectfully because you're treating them like children.
Yes.
Yes.
We really need to refocus our society on data. We really need to re-elevate skepticism and due process. Skepticism and due process, I'm just going to just divert a little bit on this, okay?
Sure.
A lot of people say, I was fired with zero due process, and a lot of people say, oh, well, it's not a legal, it's a legal term, and you're not entitled to that in the private sector. Okay, that's legally correct. But due process is a function of skepticism, and we want skepticism in our society. We want skepticism everywhere. We want skepticism in our personal lives, in our professional lives, and in our legal system. The legal system has incorporated skepticism in the form of due process. We want that. If you're arguing against that, you're arguing for dogma. You're arguing against knowledge. You're arguing against all the things that skepticism protects us from. And why? Why are you trying to protect dogma? Well, that's because you don't have data. You don't actually have information. You're just believing what you've been told, and you're protecting what you've been told. And that's not humanism. It's not skepticism, and it's not good for society. And I think we really need to re-elevate data, to re-elevate the search for truth, not the dogmatic response to people being greedy or having their own personal vendettas. We need to protect our society from personal vendettas. We need to protect our society from greed. And the only way to do that is with cold, unfeeling facts. And we need to look at those facts and know those facts so that we can live in peace and harmony again.
We live in a post-fact world, right? Like, the majority of people don't live by facts. They live by emotions. They have emotional responses to things. They don't have logical responses to things. What, 85% of people, 80% of people will respond to things emotionally over logically. And we know that as a people, and we take advantage of that. This entire woke movement is taking advantage of people's emotions for a political empowerment. And this political yes. empowerment is, like all good political empowerments that take the power from one group, it's all by any means necessary. It always has been.
Machiavellian.
And now it is Machiavellian. And now look at how the conservatives are looking at it. Look at how the centrists are looking at us. They're seeing us dogmatics. They're seeing us as non-logical, non-rational. And what is that going to do? Well, I hate to say this, because what that's going to do is it's going to create an opening for the conservatives to lure in centrists via logic and reason and data. This is how we lose the fight. Right. We're not just going to take the people who are take a section of our people out. We're going to take a section of our people out, a big section, and throw them into the center where they can be courted from the right with data, with any data that they might have, and the left won't have any data to combat it with. This is it's a crazy situation. It's
self-fulfilled divide and conquer.
It is.
And it's easy tactics. It's easy tactics for people. Religious people have been doing this. Oh, I should say, well, fundamental religious people. I'm not going to condemn all religious people. But fundamental religious people have been doing this for centuries. They know this technique. But it's so funny that you're talking about logic and critical thinking, something that, you know, I'm a big fan of, obviously. But I've seen people willing, smart people, good people, willing to throw away logic when it doesn't suit their narrative. Literally, and I'm talking literally throwaway logic. It's the same thing that I've had conversation with Matt Slick, who is willing to say something along the lines of, well, you know, yeah, it makes sense on paper, logically, but in the real world, I'm like, what?
And it so makes sense when on paper for a reason, Matt.
Yeah, because it's logic, right? If you're sticking with classical logic, there's a reason why these rules of inferences work, because it's logic. And so when you have somebody like Matt Slick, who is an apologetic person, who I think is a little bit dishonest in his approach, and he's willing to say, hey, well, yeah, it makes sense logically, Steve, on paper, but, you know, and run some tag argument. Well, that is the same thing that I see from even the most skeptical persons who say, well, yeah, Steve, you know, your logic makes sense, and I know you've had it checked out by actual logicians, but in the real world, I'm like, oh, because it doesn't suit their narrative, right? So
right.
So I'm a firm believer that people need to be addressing these types of things, and they have a little self-assessment, and I'm glad that you actually have, because I think a lot of people in the woke community have not done that. They have basically become the thing that they've fought against for a very long time. Very dogmatic, very, very much into ideology, very much a scripted approach given by certain referendums that they have to abide by, and if not, they're tossed out. Like you said, Mormonism. I think JW is probably even worse. I was Mormon for a lot of times, and I know what you're referring to. But JW is, oh man, you question anything, and you're shunned.
Well, another example would be Scientologists.
Catholicism. They do that
too. There you go.
Everything, Chris. At every level of religion, if you question it, you are.
There are some that are even more. I mean, they
go. Oh yeah, way radical.
It's built on a house of cards,
right?
And when you start pulling out the foundation of a belief, the whole fucking thing tumbles.
I was raised Catholic.
In every religion.
I was raised Catholic, and I would say they'll take anybody back. They'll take anyone they can get at this point.
But here's where the analogy fails. Because the social justice warriors will not take anyone back ever. There is no mercy, there is no forgiveness,
redemption.
These are sins in wokeism. Yep. These are cardinal sins in wokeism, which is why the friends who have left me will never come back. Now, again, just briefly back to myself to create the point. I have a website. It's firebrandforgood.com. And on this website, I have a wealth of evidence to support my innocence. I endeavor to prove my innocence. And if I say so myself, I think it's pretty good. I think I successfully show that the two women lied, and I successfully show that I successfully poke holes in them. However, I am not getting a tremendous amount. I'm getting some. Some people are coming back. But for the most part, the majority of people who left me in hate still hate me. Not because they looked at the evidence and disbelieve, but because they're not looking at the evidence. They refuse. Because if they took me back, if they forgave me, if they said, hey, Dave, looks like you really didn't do it, they would be shunned. They are the ones who were fearing for themselves. And so this culture, this fundamentalist wokeism culture, is so similar to all these other religions, except for that one big fact. That one big fact is that you can't go back. There is no response. There is no redemption for wokeism. And so think about that. If you've got an out and no in, think about that. If you've got an output and no input and no way to return, you're going to have a divided community. You're going to have a divided community. And who are you dividing? Who are you taking out? Well, you're taking out the logical people. You're taking out the successful men who could be used to fight your fight with you. And yeah, you do need those men because you're fighting a patriarchy, which probably exists to some degree. I don't know how much of a degree. I'm not taking anything on faith anymore. But if the patriarchy still exists to any degree at all, you need the men inside that patriarchy to fight it. Well, you won't have them anymore. They'll be in the center now talking badly about those woke people who lied to get them out, and they won't take them back, and there is no redemption. I mean, I had sex with Rose St. Clair 7 years ago. I'm never going to get redeemed. So they're creating their own demise. They're creating enemies. They are creating something which gives them the short-term dopium hit of, you know, getting that guy out. But now you've lost an asset, and you've lost the asset of all the people who agree with that asset. So, and there's no redemption, and there's no association. If you're a friend of mine, you're not a friend of theirs. So
it's with us or against us. And by the way, you know, it's funny. There's something to be said for this approach of with us and against us, because in these types of cases, when you have a bad argument, it kind of works in some ways to their favor. However, like for example, you all know Mitch Carrier, obviously, and I consider him a friend, even though we don't see eye to eye on a few things. But you know, I get along with the guy pretty well. I was going to take him out to dinner last time he was up here, but he had to cancel. But he used to have that approach. He used to be like in the Atheist Plus movement, and he was into this woke thing. And it was either you're against us, with us, or you're against us. Now, you know, he's had similar things charged against him. And now he's backed up, done a 180, I think, and he realized, oh, shit, maybe that's not the best approach to take, because now he's in that quagmire. He's in the center of controversy. And so people need to realize that, you know, when you push forth these types of agendas, they can come back and bite you in the ass real easily, because if you believe that if you're this narrative that you have to be with us or against us, you are dividing people. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Redemption doesn't exist in the intersectionality community. If once you transgress to a certain level, you're done. I've never had a fear for that, because I don't give a shit about that side of the internet. They are people that I think relegated themselves to a self-imposed echo chamber of their own making. They've excused or recused themselves from the discussions. They have nothing of value to even add anymore, because all they want to do is say, believe us or you're out. And that to me is, like you said, very indicative of what I see from very fundamental religious people.
And it's weak as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a non-argument from them. It really is. It's like, believe us or bye-bye. Well, okay, bye-bye.
I mean, if a religious person said that to me, I would say, well, that's just weak as fuck. And now it's coming from atheists. And it's coming from atheists who don't have any data. They just have dogma. And let's not forget the other side of this, the fact that crimes have degrees. Crimes have degrees. So there's a big difference between anything that I was even accused of and actual raping a person, actually hurting a person. I mean, okay, Rose and I had a power exchange differential. That was real to the degree that it was real. I mean, she had power too. She waved her magic wand and had me fired. So where is the power? But still, right.
I always wonder, where does the power dynamic end and the personal responsibility to begin? That's not an easy question.
But also, where is the level of stuff here? I mean, they labeled me rapist.
Yeah.
They called me rapist. And they still call me rapist, even though I've got all the data in the world that said I've got recordings, a polygraph test. I've got pictures. I've got eyewitnesses. And they're still calling me predator.
Because that word has sting to it, right? Yeah, they use these words as weapons.
Another one out there, pedophile. That's another one that gets flung around. Yeah. A lot.
Holy shit. And you know what? There are real rapists out there. There are real sexual assailants out there. There are real pedophiles out there. And they need to really go to jail. And they need to really be prosecuted. And calling everybody out there one, it reduces their sting. It's like when somebody says they've been raped when they haven't. Well, if a whole bunch of people did that, there's a whole lot of damage to the people who have actually been raped. And this is a horrible trend on every, from when you take it from any angle. And it's not humanistic. It's not kind. It's not humanistic. It's not data driven. It's not skeptical. So what exactly does woke culture bring to the table? They're not willing to discuss. They're not willing to look at their own data. They're not willing to self-criticize. They're not willing to stand with their friends. What exactly is woke culture bringing to the table? I don't think it's bringing much to the table, and it wants to. It should. There's room here. Woke culture should be able to bring something good to the table. It's trying to bring something good to the table, but there's this poison inside of it. There's this dogma. There's this intellectual laziness, this eschewing of data and skepticism.
I want David to bruise my breasts like he did to Mrs. Dillahunty. I promise I won't accuse him of anything like
that. Oh my God.
Anyways, sorry. Great show so far, guys. Love you all.
Thank you, Egghead. Sorry, we should have explained that. If someone donates over $20, they get to write a message that plays audibly.
Did Egghead heal, by the way? Did he ever get healed? Because you guys were a bitch to him last time.
Whatever. He liked it. He was asking for it, man. You see the way he was dressed?
He was asking for it. He really was. Actually. That's what's weird.
We do have to take a few minutes to read our donations that didn't play, and then we do have a word from our sponsors for tonight's show, and then we'll pick up where we left off here. I did want to go over this list of banned words on YouTube also. It's crazy.
Oh, God.
That's kind of somewhat related to what we're talking about, in a way.
You want to play the ad?
Banned words. All right.
Yes.
Is one of them David Silver?
And the funny thing about it is that it was compiled. It wasn't released by YouTube. It was compiled by people who have been testing this for months. They've determined 15,000. They tested 15,000 words.
Over 15,000 words. My buddy Nerd City put the video out, and there's some words in
video,
there,
by the way,
that don't make
good
sense.
Video.
Yeah, some of them are like removed is a banned word.
Alert.
Look, 9/11. Like, we're not allowed to talk about 9/11. It's a historical event. It happened forever ago now.
It's not advertiser friendly.
Okay. Anyway, do me a favor. Read those Streamlabs. I'm gonna run to the little boys and
Alex said, Dave, you should have done what you're doing now immediately. You left the public eye and kept your feelings inside yourself for a long time. Not healthy, friend. Don't have us. Don't leave us again. P.S. Stop being a feminist. Feminism is no longer necessary in Western cultures. I mean, I couldn't as a fan of you ever tell you how to deal with this. Right. We don't know how to deal with this type of shit. When the tables are turned on to us,
It's hard. It's hard. We all have things that we get called all the times, and it, the people that actually know us, the people that are following us, they know better, and they don't fall into these things. What these people are going for, they're going for the people that don't really know much about the topic. They're going for the people that just want to jump on a bandwagon. That's all they're doing. They're going for those people. But when it is a close friend that does abandon you on allegations and things like that nature, it sucks. Oh, it hurts. Boy. It really does.
It's unbelievable the amount of pain.
I'm not an emotional person, and I've had it happen, and it hurt. So I can imagine you, because you know, going through 10 times worse.
Yeah, and everyone, and yeah, you know what? I went to a very dark place, and you know, I appreciate the note. I went to a real dark place, and I could not get out for a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm coming out now, and yeah, you know what? Feminism is, I mean, I'm a second wave feminist. I'm a liberal feminist. I'm a factual feminist, like Christina Hoff Sommer says. And you know what? It's difficult to come out. I'm clearly on a transitional path. I'm clearly looking at the dogma of my past and trying to put data to it, trying to not take for granted that everything I used to believe is true. I'm going forward. Making everybody, I'm going forward trying to prove everything. I am relooking at everything, and I want data. I want to know what is actually true. And there's a lot of bullshit out there, and I am learning what the bullshit is from scratch. And I think it's a good exercise. I think I'm looking at every liberal thing and every conservative position that I can, and trying to find the cold, hard data from which I can actually learn, and not looking at the dogmatists, not looking at the people who have something to sell for advice or for dogma, because they're just going to tell me more lies. And there's just so many lies. There's just so many lies, and I've been living in that. And that was what bit me in the ass, and I've had that ripped from me. And, you know, it was the most painful experience of my life, but I'm going to make myself stronger because of it. I'm stronger now because of it. Yeah. And so it's good to be back in life again, and it's good to be moving forward. And it's really, really good to have a non-blind faith in my positions. As I look through this stuff, and as I realize that so much of, you know, wokeness is bullshit, or such a piece of wokeness is bullshit, it's very freeing to put this down. And Steve, you were talking about how, you know, you don't give a shit about what the people on the internet say, because you're not a part of that. Well, I was a part of it, and now I'm not. I've lost everything as far as that's concerned. And that is also very freeing. That puts me where you are, Steve. And so now, you know, I look at people who say, "Oh, Dave, you've written that you're second thinking, that you're not a third wave feminist anymore. So we can't be friends." Wow. Those are the people I pity.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. Loss.
I pity them, but it's terribly difficult. And it's very demoralizing, and it was devastating on the back of everything that happened. But yeah, I mean, I appreciate the note there from the listener. I think I'm not going to go away again. I think I'm back.
Yeah. Running through these donos as quick as possible so we can move on.
Sure.
Mr. Red 22 said there was a wave of PC woke culture in the early 90s. You think it will die out like it did before? I think it's inevitable. You know, it's a tide. It goes back and forth.
Yeah. Tides go in, tides go out.
That's how it's always been. That's how it's always been. Yeah. Real.
You can't explain that.
Yeah, this is a fad. It's going to be defeated. You can see that it's going to be defeated. There's a rising tide against wokeness right now. People are understanding that women can, in fact, and do, in fact, lie about sexual assault. So anybody who says believe all women is clearly not dealing from a full deck of logic.
Listen to all women.
Yeah, listen to everybody.
Listen to investigate.
Listen to everybody.
Assume that every story is true.
Treated equally with equal respect. If somebody says they got hurt, they should be heard. If somebody says they have evidence, that evidence should be looked at. And if somebody is accused, that accusation must be proven. Duh. This isn't rocket scientist. It's not rocket science. You know how to do this. The entire atheism movement knows how to skeptic. They all know how to skeptic.
Yeah. Yeah.
All we have to do is that. We already know how to do it.
We know Matt Dillahunty knows how to do it because he tears people apart in debates so easily.
But it's kind of hard when your wife tells you a different story, right?
I mean, that sucks.
He's probably in a very bad predicament.
Sure,
he was in a bad position when she wouldn't answer his call and then had to run out and run back to bank.
Okay, all right.
Go through your things so we can move on. We have to
Jacqueline Daggard says, Dave, you off-brand.
We can probably go on like.
Dave, you off-brand Oscar Isaacs, why you frack Yoda? Thank you, Jacqueline. Fidel Castro says, who the fuck is this blue-shirted gentleman? Thank you, Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro says, ever flung mayonnaise into a chick's guff hole from across the room? Yes, Fidel Castro. Oh, I've done that. God. With consent. JT Rockwell says, Billy the Fridge, more like Billy the Walk-In, fist up your pussy, make your pin. Shut up, JT Rockwell. Rob Nick says, you're attractive for... Why bang a married fug? I don't know what... okay, Rob.
Yeah.
Anymore. Oh, yeah. Dudas Priest says, he looks like an Indian tech support guy that bent me over a few years ago.
What?
I get that all the time. I get that all the time.
Oh, they were talking about you?
I think so, right?
Okay. All right. We have a quick word from our sponsors. It's only 60 seconds. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Right,
like the stream.
Back. Payday's right around the corner. I got a fridge full of food, but just enough money in my bank account to buy some Chipotle. So you know I got to splurge. And boom, hit with a Netflix payment. Overdraft. That's the worst. That's why the Dave app was invented, to put an end to overdraft fees for good. Dave is the number one budgeting app in America because it saves you from overdraft fees and reminds you about upcoming bills. And it can advance you $75 from your next paycheck with no credit check and no interest. It's a great service for just $1 a month, because Dave will help you budget, and if you're spending too much, the app will text you to make you stop. Mark Cuban is an investor in Dave because he got crushed by overdraft fees in his 20s, so he gets it. 3 million people already use Dave to save up to $1,000 a year in overdraft fees. Go to dave.com/peasants. It really helps the show if you let them know you heard them here. Then download Dave and never pay another overdraft fee again. It's immediate savings. Go now to DAVE.com/peasants.
All right, we're back. And yeah, DAVE.com/peasants. Link down in the description. If you go there and you do sign up with them, it looks good on us.
They'll give you a $75 advance. Tell your next payday.
And we found out my buddy Atom uses it.
Yeah. The guy that we shocked the hell out of and fed hot sauce to, he uses it. So you know
you
anybody can
that.
Use it.
Oh, yeah.
And now people tell me they want to shock
after me,
me
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also sponsored the show. He wasn't only just a guest, he's also the sponsor.
Yeah.
Nice.
Never overdraft again.
So I do want to take a look at some of these words, because some of them make sense to me and some of them don't. Like, if I wanted to advertise on a show, just the name itself, Adolf, is banned from what they can tell, and then Adolf Hitler. Now, what if I made a video that said Adolf Hitler was a terrible man?
Well, that's the thing. Well, people with history channels. People with full-on history channels who are retelling history that spent a bunch of time researching and putting it out are getting effectively demonetized and destroyed and hidden. It
makes no sense.
I mean, this is 1984 stuff, banning 15,000 words. I mean, they've got to be contextual, but still, this is...
But that's not the way looking at it, Dave. They're not looking at it as banning. What they're looking at it is, these are not advertiser-friendly. And it's like, well, hey, hang on here. YouTubers make money off their content. Let's be realistic. This is how they survive. I mean, I live off YouTube. I literally do. It is my only source of income, that and Patreon. And so every video that gets demonetized is less revenue, right? And so when a person has, and especially one of the big ones, have a video come out and it's instantly demonetized before, I've had live streams be demonetized before they even went live.
This one's already demonetized. I checked. Shocker. A few moments after we went live.
Yeah.
And it was already, so now it's up for review.
Wait, what happened?
This stream that we're currently doing on YouTube is already has the yellow dollar sign, and I've already submitted the appeal, even though it's not even finished yet.
And yellow dollar sign videos do not get pushed through the search engine the same way that the monetized videos do.
It's not only that they stifle your monetary gain per video, the way you're recommended is so huge on YouTube. If you're not recommended, then your video is going to get a lot less views also.
They have the CP heroes blocked. There's an entire Pokemon Go CP community that's based on Pokemon Go, and a CP is a combat power level.
Is DP
and people
banned?
Were getting banned off YouTube for playing Pokemon Go because of that. It's ridiculous. DP
is
not
this
banned.
Is totalitarianism. Yeah. This is consumer. This is what is this? I mean, it is almost
these
as if
bad business. I don't know. I understand YouTube's a business, and I get that. However, if this is how they want to run their business, they're not understanding how their business works, because YouTube, these words are not something to be demonetized. They need to have a better algorithm to detect people that are promoting Adolf Hitler in a positive light as opposed to a negative light.
Exactly.
Who the hell
exactly.
are these? Who the hell are these advertisers that don't? We just showed you. We get our own advertisers. So I don't understand how we're not advertiser friendly. you know.
It's because advertisers don't want to give the power to YouTube. YouTubers are upload directly to YouTube. They immediately have their word out to the public. When an advertiser goes through a television program, they have standards and practices. They get access to the scripts for the TV programs before the TV programs ever go live. So a TV program can get away with way more than YouTubers can get away with from an advertiser's perspective. But
so look at the advertisers. The advertisers are selling things, and they don't want to be associated with these words. So this is wokeism, isn't it? This is a symptom of wokeism.
Yes.
This is, this is snowflakeism.
Israel.
You don't want to offend anybody. And so the advertisers are yielding to the terrorism that is inside of wokeism. And wokeism is running these this is what this is. This is wokeism-based terrorism that is being yielded to by the advertisers, which is pressuring people who are people like you and me to stifle our free speech in favor of this woke religion.
Look at this.
This is what's happening right here.
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Inside incorrect. Intent is right there with jacking off.
And ISIS will lock it. So that you can't appeal.
This is what I'm going to say on the ISIS and things of that nature. It's worse than what you think about just being wokeism. There are countries out there, Pakistan and other countries, that have actively gone after YouTubers because certain words and certain things they talk about are banned in their countries. And so YouTube doesn't have an effective way to deal with this, right? Because if it violates some law, especially when it comes to some Islamic law, they cannot effectively handle that and promote stuff to countries like America and Europe and Canada. And so what they do is they say, hey, you know what? We're just not going to have this word allowed, because if you'll notice, a lot of words are not going to be something that are talked about in these Islamic countries. And I'm not coming down on Islam, and I'm not saying I'm Islamophobic, but there is something to be said for this. I've recently seen people get deplatformed and lose their Twitter accounts for having things that you know cannot be talked about in these other countries. YouTube is just capitulating to them. That's all they're doing, because they have no legal way of doing it otherwise. They don't know how to.
The word gay is on the list.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lawsuit going on right now because LGBTQ YouTube creators feel they're being unfairly demonetized.
The whole Nerd City video, if you haven't watched the accompanying video with this list, the entire Nerd City video goes in on how the lawsuit, it's real. The gays and lesbian community were being stifled
for video.
Over a year and a half.
Great video. Highly recommend that video.
Yeah, it's really well done.
I mean,
no.
So what
the
if
word
the state
known.
Did, what if this was? What if this was the state limiting things like this? Would we? Would we? Why do we allow this? Why is this okay? Why is this permissible?
I don't.
Why
know.
Is it? Why
it's,
is it okay
it's their platform
here? That's not because it's not allowed as speech in other countries.
Well, here's the differentiation. You got to point this out. YouTube is a business. They're allowed to do this, right? So we're using their platform. So it's not like they're saying you cannot say this. They're just going to say you can say it. You're just not going to pay for it.
I know, but I mean, if beyond the legal status, the idea of having words stifled because other people don't like to hear them. It's beyond scary. I mean, yes, of course, YouTube is not the federal government. They can say anything that they want. They can restrict anything that they want. But it's still bad.
And there is a catch to that. There is a catch to that. A labor union in Germany is saying, you know, creators should be able to organize, and there are laws in the EU that say this list should be given to us by YouTube. We should have clear guidelines about what is and is not allowed. We shouldn't have to do an experiment like these people did to figure out what these words are.
Did that group get YouTube get a hold of them and say we are going to sit down and talk with you?
Well, I'm sure they're going to sit down and talk with them. That's what YouTube does. They sit down and talk with every problem they have because YouTube doesn't fucking understand their own problems.
In that video, they show Susan Wojcicki lie and say that there isn't a list of words that are banned.
That's bullshit. Well, it's the same thing with the metadata. Remember back when people were investigating the metadata that was causing some of these things, and they realized that it was embedded in the metadata, contrary to what YouTube was saying.
The word link is on here. You can get demonetized for saying link. Like if I make
a
sausage link.
So I'm skeptical about this. I'm skeptical about this link, this list. Yeah. 15,000 words. The word link, the word incorrect. I mean, I'm having trouble believing that those words are demonetized.
So this is what they did.
I can show you a little bit of explanation here.
What they did was they made 1 to 2 second videos using just these words on their own and uploading them and seeing which videos were getting demonetized. So the 15,000 words would go in as a video on their own, 1 to 2 seconds long. And if the video was demonetized, they would maybe try and run it through for appeal type of thing and see if that would change. But it was all based on every upload was its own alone circumstance, and some words would get demonetized at a higher degree than others. So like there was a sliding scale from perfectly safe to absolutely inappropriate. And some of these words like link, they may be in the 50% marker, 55% marker. They might not be as bad as other words, but they're still triggering demonetization. Right.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is somebody created a 2-second video where he's sitting there and he goes, link.
And puts it in the title type of thing.
And puts that up.
Yeah.
And that gets demonetized?
Yes. Something like that. They would change. They would do it one way, and then they'd change the word like the happy. And all the ones that had happy in it, they were all monetized.
Yeah, change the word gay to happy.
Yeah, exactly. Gay to happy, something along those lines. And so what they're trying to do is...
This is the guy who made the list, and he made a video explaining how he compiled it, and it actually he updates it regularly because sometimes it changes over time.
Yeah.
So the idea here is that YouTube has an algorithm where they deliberately put in the word link as a bad word, and this was human made.
Well, no, it's a robot. It's a robot. It's a robot made. The robots are learning.
I mean, it's programmed by a human.
Well, hang on. It's a learning algorithm, and the way that they had wanted it to be was that if you had a demonetized video, you would have it be viewed by an actual person. Which, by the way, I question if that's actually the case. But let's assume that it actually is a real person that will do a second level review of these things. That person then tells the algorithm, "Yes, this was a good." Limited thing that we should keep it that way, or no, this was a bad call and we should monetize it. And so what happens is you have certain words over a period of time as an aggregate say, hey, these words have been using these videos with the second level reviewer going, hey, these were not appropriate videos. And so the as Billy explains it, it moves them more toward the sliding end, you know, a far the scale. That's how I understand it, at least.
Let's look at the word link, especially here. On YouTube, one of the biggest things the YouTube coders, algorithm, whatever, they want to keep you on the website, YouTube.
Yeah, they don't want you leaving,
so
going to Twitch.
If you have a video that links to your merch page or something, and you're like, link in description, that's taking people away from YouTube. The word link itself is misdirecting traffic away from the site. And that could be why they demonetize. They don't want to reward that
and
type
that's,
of...
And that one's in the middle of the sliding scale. And then you have, like, the one... You have ones on, like, the really far end of it. The really horrendous words. The racial slurs. Those sort of things. Which I agree, those should be monitored.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I can understand it. I can understand wanting to stifle actual racism and hate speech.
Right.
But I mean, that's like 20 words.
But why sensitive topics? I mean, YouTube has been known for a platform for people to get out their ideas. And some of the times we talk about very sensitive, controversial topics. That generates revenue. And these people that are promoting and advertising on YouTube, they don't have a problem with that kind of speech, as far as I've seen. They're trying to go after the people that are promoting actual racism, promoting people that are actually KKK members and promoting Nazism. I get that. But the way they're going about it is just not something that makes sense to me. They're doing it in a very heavy-handed way that's affecting actual people trying to put out their message, which should be monetized and encouraged, because that's what YouTube was started with people putting out their opinions. They've lost perspective, I think.
Well, I think they've lost perspective, particularly because they're gaining public appeal. It's always been this way. MTV back in the day was more edgy early on, then it became a commercialized fucking bullshit infomercial for teeny bop culture, right? And YouTube is becoming that platform. It's becoming the mainstream. And in that, they reach out to the bigger advertisers for the bigger money, and they are like, well, okay, you want our money? It comes with a price.
And by the way, this is every word they tested. Green is expected to be okay. Green means okay, and then the tan color, that means that's a banned word.
Can you send me this list too? Because I haven't.
Yes.
I haven't actually seen the special.
So let's go back to the what this means and what the implications for this are. This is snowflakeness, right? This is the monetization, the monetary results of incorporated wokeism, incorporated protection of the society against words that it finds offensive. This is censorship. But it's capitalism-based censorship, not government-based censorship.
But then the funny thing about it is they're trying to be all woke, but they're actually hurting LGBTQ creators in the process.
Yeah.
I think it's more discouragement than censorship, because they're allowing you to say it. But what they're doing, they're discouraging content creators, because content creators are not going to spend hours and hours and hours putting forth a very high-end product if they know it's going to be demonetized, right? So it discourages them, especially the LGBTQ, which, by the way, YouTube has videos with the same words, and they're fine with it, right? It's like, what's going on with this?
Demonetizing and censorship are on the same scale. They're demonetizing and censorship and discouragement, they're all on the same scale. They're all trying to do the same thing.
YouTube's trying to phase out the you from the creator process. They just don't care about you. They care about you viewing, and it's more safe if you view Jimmy Fallon videos or Dr. Phil videos or Judge Judy videos.
Which is hilarious, because that's already on TV.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's safe that way. They're not going to have a situation where their big YouTube star goes and makes fun of some guy hanging in the forest in Japan. So they're not going to talk about abortion.
But that's their fault for artificially propping people up to the top like they did with Jake Paul.
And that's why they are going to further away from the public. They just had this new television show with Lily Singh or whatever. Is that her name?
I don't know.
She's a YouTuber that has a late night show
now. Yes, she's an Indian woman.
Yeah, she has a late night show now. And her very first episode, she had to write an apology letter for being too
edgy. She
made
a turban joke.
Yeah, a turban joke. And they have a fully monetized video of her on YouTube, a naked video. It was a naked joke of her. And she's getting away with being naked because she's favored. And that's what YouTube's always done with their YouTube Red program. They let people get away with more. If you're a YouTube official channel, you're going to get away with more. They have preferred. The news outlets get away with more when they're professional news outlets because they garner their own advertisers. They skip out with the YouTube AdSense program, and they have their own direct link to advertisers. So they're a way they're able to speak differently and make money off of it on the same platform that we're on. Because we have to abide by the AdSense rules.
Delaware?
Rules. I would demonetize Delaware too, though.
Yeah, of course. That's, but you make an excellent point. Real quick, you make an excellent point because YouTubers nowadays have transitioned between being YouTube, whatever you want to call them, stars or people that are known on YouTube, to real life celebrities, right? A lot of people have made very good transitions. I mean, look at Bo Burnham. I mean, brilliant. A person on YouTube. He had great videos, highly entertaining, got his own things on I believe it was Showtime. And Miranda, what's the last name?
Miranda Sings.
Miranda Sings. A lot of people have made a very amazing transition, but at the same time, now they're in a different venue, right? And so, like you said, in YouTube, they might be able to say certain things on RedTube and other things, but they go into the commercial sector as far as broadcasting, and now you have to issue apologies for being who you, what made you, right? And that's what a lot of people call being a sellout, right? That's hard for a lot of content creators because you are being stifled. I hate using the word censorship. I know why Dave is. I think it is discouragement, but it I guess in a wide way, it is a form of censorship.
Sure, it is.
Yeah, but it's definitely the fact that I think a lot of stars are actually coming from YouTube. And like you said, Ben, they prop people up. They prop up these figures like Logan, who turned out to be a total shitbag, right? And then what happens when they become shitbags? Oh, what have we done here? You know?
Dozens? You cannot say dozens?
Drugs? I saw him in there.
Delivering. The depth of the self-defense. Just think about the depth of the self-defeating here. Just think about the short-term effect of we're not pissing anybody off. The advertisers are happy. The woke culture is happy. The woke people who are obviously making these decisions inside YouTube are happy. But think about how this is affecting civil discourse. Mm-hmm. Think about how this is affecting the course of humanity in the first place. If we are to be stifled on a platform to this level, if we are to be discouraged, stifled, censored, whatever you want to call it, in favor of woke culture, which is trying to do a good thing and protect people like LGBTQ people, but in the end, stifling their ability to speak, stifling their ability to make a sentence or a video to explain their position, how are we going to move forward? How are we going to learn? How are we going to debate? We're just going to keep dividing and dividing out of an ever-growing level of ignorance.
It's definitely division. We're not going to be able to debate. The advertisers don't want debate. They want agreeable material to advertise on. And it's a war of attrition for the advertisers, the companies doing advertisement, because all these people that are speaking freely and against the grain of what the advertisers like, they're not going to be able to make money, and maybe the bottom percent of money makers can no longer do YouTube. They disappear. The advertisers come back in. They rebuy the ads for a cheaper price because they've already made YouTube look like the fuck up for having this free, naughty speech, and it's a rinse and repeat process until YouTube is so fucking sterilized that you're not going to get any sort of disagreeable speech or conversation going. You're just going to have people laughing and farting. You can fart, but you can't pussy fart, according to this list.
Haley, isn't that just a woman's name?
Kitties. Yeah.
Haley also has a connotation for getting a blowjob.
Oh, see, I don't even know this stuff. But they're teaching me dirty words.
Yeah, but the word really? Jared was in here.
Learn something new every day.
Why can't people talk about the Holocaust? Like, I understand it's a sensitive issue, but what if someone's just making a video about historical stuff?
That's where it should fit, right? But you can't, and they don't want to because, you know what? The advertisers don't want to pay for it. And if they start adding these words to the list saying, oh, no, we don't want to pay for it, then they're going to get a better deal next time around when they pull out because of some big PewDiePie scandal. The advertisers pull out, come back in 6 months, and get a better ad buy than they had before because they're trusting YouTube again. We're trusting you to do it right this time. It's all fucking scam scheme to get lower and lower ad rates and more control over the website because that's what advertisers have always wanted. A lot of our television history is driven by advertisers. Ovaltine, motherfucking every ad campaign had full control over standards and practices of their television shows.
Is the word hot really banned though? Is just the word hot by
it's
itself.
It's a triggering word. There's a lot of
it was
a lot
hot
of,
today. Make a video.
There's a lot of completely innocent words
hypocrite.
Here, like hot, hypocrite,
Idaho,
corn dog, Idaho. Yeah,
is that,
I'm
was that
James
Idaho? Bitch. Yeah, what's the sexual connotation for Idaho? Now I'm curious.
Because it has the word hoe in it,
it's
I guess.
Confession.
Oh. Yeah. Idaho.
Yeah, it's a confession.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there's a whole lot of words here that really don't have that. But the learning process of the robot learning picked up words that were maybe often used with other touchy subjects and added them to the list. And then they'll take them away if that's no longer the robots don't see them as offensible. This yellow list or tan list showing all the banned words is telling. But if you look down the green list and see some words that are allowed over other words, there it's fewer and far between to find those, but they exist.
I love how inappropriate is inappropriate.
Yeah.
Do you know if they weighed it differently from the title to the actual, like, for example, in your video description? Like, if the words in the title, does it have a higher weight than it does if it's in the video description? Because I don't know.
I would imagine so. Clickbait is a big thing YouTube tries to deal with.
But YouTube's not transparent on how any of this works. Matter of fact, the antithesis is being transparent.
And that's because they're ever-changing, and they don't want to have to give you a list of things you can or can't do because it might change within a month or two. And also they say, if we tell you how we work, bad faith actors will take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's their excuse.
But they already are taking advantage of the exploits when they find them. And now people who have perfectly viable careers on YouTube are effectively being fired because overnight they can't talk about the Holocaust when the last 20 fucking months they've been delivering high quality history content and making a living off of it and hiring people to help them create these very beneficial videos. At this point, YouTube, what you got to do is step in and start giving grants to creators.
They do, Steve Shives.
That wasn't YouTube. That was VidCon.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
But, yeah.
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 You have a guy that was mentioned in the video. He's had to he made two big budget history films in 1 month, and he made $1.77 off of it, right? And it's like that was all because of a change in the way the payouts come with AdSense. And he said he's no longer going to be able to hire the people he hires to work with him. And he can't put these videos out anymore. He's got to effectively retire. YouTube's got to step in and start giving some money directly to channels like this to make up for the fact that they're killing them. I don't know if there's a grant application process we can start right now. But, Susan, that's where you got to start with keeping these little channels
PayPal.
Alive while you try and figure out everything. PayPal, yeah, PayPal link in description. Everybody send your Streamlabs in $20 above. Let you talk over us. So butt in with a fucking $20 bill or shut the fuck up. We're talking here.
That's why PayPal and Patreon are so important because we as content creators get shit on quite a bit. Especially, you know, you guys have a pretty controversial show. My whole life has been on YouTube controversial. I have people on that people may consider to be controversial, but I have a platform where I will have on who I want, when I want, and talk about what I want to talk about. These types of things, like these demonetizations, kill that shit. I mean, half my videos, they demonetize before the first, you know, second they go on. And so this really does affect and stifle people having these conversations. But my whole channels have been about having these types of conversations. So it affects us, you know, substantially. And like Billy said, there's a click per view, amount that you get from each type of ad revenue, right? And so when somebody clicks on a thing, depending on what you have,
CPM.
And some things are worth more. Exactly. CPM. So when you have certain topics that you talk about, let's say I want to promote things like home improvement, right? And the home improvement market is huge. And so advertisers like Lowe's and Home Depot are willing to pay a little bit more for their advertisements on those types of videos, right? So you get more money for talking about the certain things. You don't get a lot for talking about controversial topics. Matter of fact, you half your videos are demonetized, and the other half, they don't get that much. They get a dollar something, you know, for every 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 views, as opposed to three times, four times as much if I'm talking about home loans or I'm talking about home improvement. There is a revenue amount that changes depending on the topic.
Yeah. Look at this list right here, Steve. Look at this list. All these innocent words like
relaxing,
request, restaurants, repeatedly, rim job. These are perfectly innocent words that are causing demonetization.
Totally. Totally.
And so is there a counter monetization? Is the nice speech more monetized?
Depends on the words
you use. If you have a sterilized, woke-friendly speech, a sterilized, woke-friendly video, is that getting more money? It's naturally getting more money than those are not, right?
Well, it depends what I'm talking. If I want to do a video on car maintenance, then the advertisers that deal with you know, selling parts and dealing with cars, they're going to pay more per click than some other thing of low value. Like, for example, flat earthers have been doing videos. They're not going to pay much per click as compared to the bigger businesses. You talk about healthcare, something like that. They might, the prescription drugs, those might have higher revenues. So yeah, they get more money because one, they're monetized, and two, the YouTube algorithm will pick it up and recommend it more. And three, you get more money per click. Right?
Sorry, the word titwank just made me bust up laughing. Damn it.
What was that word?
The word titwank.
Titwank.
Having a little titwank.
You're such a child sometimes.
I am a child, especially when it comes to titwanks.
Titwanks.
I'm learning so much on this podcast.
No shit. I'm like, this is all news to me, man. I thought I was like at least semi-woke in the sexual type of realm of discourse, but I guess not. I don't know.
Aziz Ansari. You may be woke, Steve, but have you been titwanked?
I have never been titwanked.
You've never gotten a titwank?
I can tell you right now, dude, I will never be titwanked, just let you
know.
Are you
sure?
Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, have you? Steve, if you've never had a good titwank, you don't know what you're missing, my dude.
You know what? You put it on camera, you make some revenue off of it.
You
want
me to videotape you getting your first titwank?
No, you getting titwank.
Nobody
wants to titwank me.
I'll call up a couple of friends, dude. I'm in the BDSM community.
No, I've never seen out now. And I've never heard of titwanking.
I'm going to ask my friend Brittany if she's ever heard of it.
I guarantee you Brittany knows about a titwank.
You think so? You know Brittany. I'm
familiar with Brittany. I don't think she's been on this show.
Well, we're definitely demonetized because we've said so many of the words that are on the ban list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hooray!
And it's not even my fault.
No.
Well, just say David Silverman, you're demonetized. So,
name is in the title. So,
matter of fact, I'm going to suggest everybody watching at home right now, just a small $20 donation with one of these words in the title will ensure we never get monetization again. And if you really hate us,
and
just
like
spend
the stream, that's
$20
free.
To say Adolf Hitler in a text-to-speech donation.
No, it's all going to be titwank. Titwank is the
titwank. Titwank to the end, baby.
I don't know what it means, but I love the word. It's one of my new favorite words.
It's titwank. Aziz Ansari recently did a Netflix stand-up comedy special. He was targeted by cancel culture not too long ago. Had a piece written up about him. I don't know if you guys have seen this stand-up special that he did, but he talks a lot about woke culture and how misguided it is. And I would recommend people look into that just for whether you think he's funny or not. It's
talking about Dave Chappelle?
Aziz Ansari.
Oh, okay.
He's very candid and frank about the situation.
They tried
on
to cancel
stage.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. And he starts off his stand-up special basically addressing
it
that.
And
it's kind of awkward to listen to, but it's also very real.
It became like a popular hobby. You know what I mean?
Not it's popular like, hobby.
2018 was the year of canceling people being
that's
a popular
that's
hobby.
That's a very innocent way to put
I know that. Yeah.
It's just what it was. It was a psyop. It was getting people to cancel people for a power move and giving the power to the voice of the woke movement and not being able to not being able to doubt the movement is a very important part of the movement moving on. Titwank, PT Harold with the big 40. Titwank, yes. It's worth every penny. Thank you very much.
Right. You know, this is never going to pass Manor Review now. You know this, right?
We don't care, dude. All the haters are going to get us demonetized by giving us $20 each time. Yeah. It's so smart.
Even care if my shit gets demonetized at this point. If I have a monetized video, I'm like, okay, great. But it's just whatever.
We only get one out of every 10 to 20 now. Yeah.
Yeah. One out of every 10 to 20 of your videos is monetized?
Yes. That's half. Mine's half. I mean, well, probably less than half, but yeah. But and that's after I've had them reviewed.
How can you make money?
Well, luckily we have a fan base that is very supportive.
And we have sponsors outside of YouTube. YouTube is nothing but a distribution platform now, and it's not even that good at that now because, as we said before, they don't share your video. They don't recommend your video to other to a possible new audience if you're on the naughty list. So,
Think the algorithm assumes that I'm transgender.
And we've done some weird stuff on this channel too. But we had a BDSM game show one time on this channel. We've had all kinds of weird stuff over the years.
And I think I admit to a lot of crimes on accident during the podcast as well. That doesn't help.
Yeah.
I'll be canceled any day now. Like if you guys aren't listening now, then you never were. I'm fucked up. Titwank.
You're a titwanker. Something ain't right in that boy's head.
Billy the Fridge was recently accused of a titwank. On unsuspecting drunken peasants fan formerly dated J.F. Garapi and her mayonnaise eating low IQ.
Billy, if anybody's going to end up in the news from here more than anybody else, it's you. You're going to end up in one of these BuzzFeed things.
Tyler.
I figure cancel culture is inevitable for me. I talk too much shit.
Remember, we had an incident in Seattle.
Yeah.
In Capitol Hill neighborhood where we were hanging out with these popular YouTubers.
Streamers.
They were doing live streams.
Titwank, 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 spank, bank, titwank, 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 tank, thank, titwank, titwank, titwank.
It's going to go on for a while.
Titwank, 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 titwank,
titwank. We asked for it. This is our fault. All right. Titwank, this is our fault.
Thank you, thank you.
This is a great system.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
So we were hanging out with these guys, and they asked this woman with blue hair how many genders there were, and she chased us down the street and took our picture. And me and Billy didn't say anything like that, but we were the biggest picture. And she like put out like a neighborhood alert on us.
And I'm like the only one in the entire photo that the neighborhood knew because I'm a Seattle boy. I'm pretty well known out here. And I all of a sudden was a racist, transphobic asshole.
Yep.
And people wanted to beat me up. There was a big
group. Yeah, there was a group on Facebook, Beat Up Billy the Fridge group on Facebook.
Yeah, hashtag Beat Up Billy
because
the Fridge.
Because you asked how many genders there were?
We didn't even ask.
It was somebody we were with
while they were live streaming.
Poor quality. Sorry for the poor
quality.
Watch out
for
these
people. They came into Petty today with cameras asking, where is the black barbershop where chicks get weaves and people get shot? And how many genders are there? And other dumb statements like that. They are filming reactions and are very aggressive.
Yeah. The two guys in the lower right-hand corner.
Filming reactions and you're very aggressive. Those are two mutually exclusive statements.
I'm looking at me and Ben here. And I don't see one camera in our hands.
Yeah.
The only camera in our picture is the one of the woman making these aggressions towards us.
Yeah.
She's the one with the camera. She has complete anonymity.
All right, so take a step back and look at this again, okay? Again, look at these people. This is a victim. These are victims of wokeness.
They are
looking for Satan everywhere. They are looking for the evil outsiders, the ones who are coming to destroy the precious Jesus in the manger. These are the people who are trying to do good, trying to be good. These are victims of indoctrination. This all fits. This is not a bad person. This is a scared person. And you're not a demon because she's stupid. You're a demon because she's been indoctrinated into this culture that demonizes, literally demonizes everybody who's not a part of the culture, even to the smallest degree. This is not a crazy person. This is a damaged person. This is an injured person. And the culprit is woke culture itself, not even all of it, just the bad parts. And we have to really look at this. And, you know, it's real easy to make fun of crazy woke people, just as it is fun to make fun of crazy Christians and crazy Jews. Sure. But in reality, if we look at this from a humanistic perspective, we can see an injured person here. We can see an injured person who sees the devil everywhere. This is the same person who sees Jesus on the toast. This is the same person who exercises demons out of their children. This is the same person who starves their kids because God wants them to be healed through prayer. This is the religion of wokeism incarnate right here. They're organizing. They're either trying to intimidate you or trying to have you actually beaten with physical violence, not because they're evil, but because they think you are. Because they're victims of the indoctrination that's infecting our liberal left. And I want to make sure that everybody understands, when I talk like this, I am not talking about liberalism. I am a liberal. I am blue. But this is not blue. This is not left. This is not liberal. This is religion that is infecting a portion of the left. And it is hurting the rest of the left. It's hurting society on the whole. It's making these well-meaning atheists crazy and violent. And look at what they're doing. And she is going to get, not only is she afraid of you, but she's going to get such support from her echo chambers. She's going to be told she's a hero for facing down the dangers of the Satan that was in their midst. Oh my goodness, that refrigerator guy, he's evil. And he's going to come get your children. And you were so brave to put up with that. You were so brave to see through that and to stare them down. You're a hero. This is what is happening on our turf. This is what the conservatives are making fun of right now. This is what is dividing liberalism and is going to, well, I don't know, get Trump reelected.
Right. This is part of the reason why we have him now anyway. Billy, didn't you also get in trouble at PAX too?
Oh yeah, that was different though.
Oh, okay.
I was asking questions in like an interview segment for a YouTube video, and I asked a girl if she had a boyfriend, and she was like, "That's none of your business." And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sorry. I was just going to make a joke, right? But, you know, she immediately got on the defensive. And I was like, okay, sorry. She's like, you need to leave. I was like, yeah, I don't want to be here right now anyways. I'm gone. And then she went and flagged down security and had them come after me. So I had to go into stealth mode and run away.
And all you did was ask her if she had a boyfriend?
Yeah. After she consented to letting me interview her. I don't know. Like, I guess that was the wrong question.
I need to make a note of something. I was actually really going to ask Brittany about Titwoke, and I went to go do so. She's no longer on Twitter. Titwoke, yes. Her page is no longer there. Now, I know she was leaving YouTube. Let me say why, and this is not private information. She's made this public in a video recently because I had this conversation with her. But she's in fear. She has been harassed by radical feminists. She has been harassed by people in the woke culture. She got so scared that she literally decided to leave YouTube. Now, I have other means of connect with her, but she has taken down her Twitter page. These things really do happen. You guys were in this thing. We're the demons, as David points out. And by the way, if I think David or anybody else is using hyperbole, I'm going to be the first person to call it out. I think he's spot on with this. I think that they are trying to demonize you in this thing, and it happens. They tried to do this to Britney. She has literally go just now found out she no longer has a Twitter page. And then again, the other day, she makes a video saying she's no longer associated with feminism because this is what they do. They are victims of the woke culture. Now, I do think a lot of them are a little more insane than probably you do, Dave, but I'm a little jaded. I'll admit that. But they are victims in that way. And it also denigrates the conversation because who wants to talk to these people now? Because if they're going to just demonize you and they're going to use these pejoratives and try to make you out to be these things that you're not, who wants to have a conversation with them? This is why I've said they've self-isolated themselves into echo chambers because nobody wants to deal with them.
Hashtag women in burkas.
You know how much I love conspiracy theories, right? Like, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm pretty confident that intersectional politics or whatever was invented by the patriarchy. It was self-imposed divide and conquer, and they knew exactly what they were going to do. It's going to be split down and split down and split down until all the sides are against each other, and they're so divided they have no power. They thought they were bringing the power together.
And then religion wins.
Yeah.
But why would the patriarch do that?
Because it's control, man. They're going to be able to push all the laws through, all the right over everybody's head, because we're too worried about where someone can pee.
Because the patriarchy is fed by religion, including wokeism. The patriarchy is used by religion, including wokeism.
Well, it's not just religion. It's the control, the power. Religion was the original control. And now that we have corporations that have superseded religion with branding and logos far more seen than the Christian cross or the Star of David or whatever it will be that represent the logo, the new logo is the same idea behind religion. It's power and governing and followers. Followers in religion versus followers in faith or business, followers on Twitter. It's all taking advantage of the tribal nature of human beings that has been instilled in us since we rose above the lions and tigers and bears, because we banded together and followed one smart motherfucker and stood around them with our spears and kept the tribe growing beyond the actual predators that were out there that could have taken us down one-on-one. And this group mentality that's been in us for thousands of years is now wasted because we're all safe and protected and civil in our little gated communities, and now we have to look somewhere else to follow whoever else. And right now, it's great to follow the movement of the woke culture and empowering the weak. But really, it's just making the power divide us. We are being divided.
We are being divided. And the only ones that are going to be united are the people inside a religion, inside one religion, inside conservatism. Conservatism isn't doing this. Only the liberals are doing this.
This is why I promote critical thinking and logic. And I don't hold to any dogma, ideology, or group. I'm not beholden to anybody. I do what the frick I want. But I do help people do critical thinking and promote logic and reason, because those things transcend all this other bullshit. And
critical thinking, logic, and reason are the strength of liberalism. That's our strongest point. That's what's holding us. That's where we get our power.
And conservatives have power because they are conserving the power they've had. And when we start giving up our power of logic and reason, the conservatives are still in power because we've taken away our strength.
I'm a centrist.
Our progress is no longer progressive.
I'm weird. I'm like a social liberal, but I'm a fiscal conservative. So I'm a moderate. And I think that all the parties these days are just fucked. I think politics in America has just gone to crap. We could obviously get to a tangent to how we got Trump as a president. But I think that's one thing that most conservatives and liberals kind of agree on, is we're not in a good place for any of the parties, for any of the positions. So I don't identify with liberal or conservative. I think they all need to get their shit together. But that's my view.
Conservatives need to get their shit together, but they're conserving the power they already have. So if they don't get their shit together and the other one's equally as fucked, they're going to continue having that power.
If we want to fight that, we need to focus on data. We need to focus on truth. We need to focus on knowledge. We need to focus on skepticism. We need to focus on calling out lies and calling out dishonesty, even if it's among ourselves. Calling out lies among ourselves is a good deed to do with us. In fact, calling out lies on me is a good idea. Okay? If I lie, if I'm wrong, I seek correction. This is what we all should do. And believe me, I've gone through a lot of correction over the past 2 weeks and over the past year and a half. And it has made me stronger. It has made me better. And I think that is a mentality that we need to foster. We need to foster truth. We need to foster data. We need to foster, if we're going to fight for liberalism, we need to take back our data. We need to take back our skepticism, and we need to take back our humanism, because that's why we're all doing this. And we need to keep that in mind, because we're losing the forest for the trees. We're throwing out people who are good in the false idea that they're not good enough. So we need to get rid of the purity tests, and we need to get rid of the lies, and we need to check our sources, which is what I'm going to do personally from now on.
Yeah, I think the purity test just one of the worst things out there. If you don't reach a certain level of enough virtue signaling and enough condemnation of good people, then you're not fitting in with the rest of the woke community. And I've been against that for so long, and it's difficult when you seem like you're against this wave of big, you know, names and things like that that have subscribed to this woke culture, and you know they could basically shit on you with impunity because they're, you know, they have some standing. But the reality is a lot of them are coming around to seeing the problems with the woke community. You're not the only one. I think that dam is bursting, and I think that, I don't know if it was Billy, but somebody was saying earlier that it's going to change. The pendulum might be swinging the other way. Hope so.
It will. People will get so fed up over how ridiculous this is. It's cyclic. Remember, South Park was grown out of the last swing back, right? Like, we had South Park. That came out in the late 90s. And then it carried us through to a certain point, and then now we're back in this situation again.
With these individuals. Oh, by the way, we've got about, like, 5 minutes left in the show here.
If anybody wants to get in another tit wank before we go,
I know
what to do.
And if there's anything either of you guys want to plug right now that you've got going on that you want to announce, feel free to do so.
Well, I have a website. My website is, if you don't mind me going first, website is firebrandforgood.com. Now on firebrandforgood.com, I have a brand new video channel that I'm starting, which is youtube.com/firebrandforgood. But just go to firebrandforgood.com. You can see all of the data, the recordings, the pictures, the polygraph test results from the Me Too, but also you can learn about my efforts in defeating Falun Gong. I think Falun Gong sucks, and Falun Gong is on my shit list. And I wrote this article on Falun Gong for Skeptic Magazine, and that's on the website. And I hope you all read it, because Falun Gong sucks and should not be supported. And Falun Gong, by the way, is part of the Shen Yun Orchestra that travels around. That's a money-making arm of a really twisted, racist cult called Falun Gong, which needs to get some serious skepticism. So please check out my website, and my Twitter account is still at Mr. Atheist Pants.
Awesome. Steve?
Yeah, okay. Well, first, I showed you guys earlier, so I'm just going to shill it out, even though I don't think they're even on the thing any longer. But I want to thank, you know, Matt for my smug. I bought this. This was designed by my co-host, Cheshire. Matt Delano called me smug, so we figured we'd make something out of it. So I've been drinking coffee out of that today. Thank you for that. I think I am having Dave on, I think, next week, actually, believe it or not. And I want to extend the fact that to him, my appreciation, because Dave and I probably don't agree on a lot of things. I have been critical of him, and he's been very accommodating on that, the fact that I have been critical. But on this particular issue, we agree. And I don't do the litmus test thing. I'm not one of those people, oh, you disagree with me on this, but agree with me on this. I take allies where I see allies. I've grown up, yeah, you know, believe it or not, so my mom tells me, but I have to listen to mommy. But I wanted to extend the fact that I know there's been some issues between us with third parties that I really have not much to do with, and so I'm glad that was all resolved. If you guys want to follow me on my channel, I'm going to throw out the link there. I think most of the people that follow you guys on this channel follow me on mine, but just in case, come over there, and that's it. I'm not really into shilling that much.
Awesome, awesome. So,
but I like the cup. Thank you, Chess. You did a good job designing it.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah, it's really simple. It's
she
like
makes
a
some
little,
pretty cool
like,
art.
Abstract. Yeah. She's awesome, isn't she? You guys like her, don't you?
Yeah, she's great to have on.
Yeah.
So for the rest of you, we are going to do tonight's post show on twitch.tv/drunkenpeasants. So after we end the stream here, Billy and I will be over there on Twitch doing some extra streaming for everybody if you want to check that out. And that'll probably be more along the lines of, you know, the show Billy and I would normally do when it's just me and him. More like, you know.
I'll be farting and burping and saying dick jokes and rhyming words with rape.
Dick was on there.
Yeah.
Some of the words you say the most were on that list.
Yeah, my bad.
That says entire vocabulary in a nutshell. By the way, make sure I get that list if you just Skype it to me or something.
Absolutely.
Or email it, whatever.
I'll link you to
appreciate it.
Yeah. All right.
All right, guys, we will see you all on Twitch. Link in the description, by the way. Link also, man. Yeah, and we'll see you guys on Thursday. Good night, everybody.
Thank you to our guests.
Right, thanks for having me on the show again.
Great show. This is one of my favorite. This is great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Nothing. And then there was the Drunken Peasants Podcast.
Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants.
From the strangest corners of the internet, gonna get TP'd by Billy and Ben. You know where you can find them at. Get ready, cause they're gonna kick your... Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants.